2 Samuel chapter 19, beginning in verse 15 today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 15, so the king returned and came to Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And you remember Shimei, he's a guy that when David was leaving, he was throwing rocks at him and cursing him. He'd be singing another tune right here, verse 17, and there was 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over Jordan before the king. Shimei, remember, Shimei, he did curse David when he left. And we'll see what he does now, now that the king is back. Verse 18. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. Yep, a little change of attitude there now that the king is back on his throne, so to speak. Look what he says. He said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which your servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. Shimei, you know, he threw rocks at David, cursed him as he was leaving. And David can declare him not guilty because he's king. But telling David to forget what was done and just to put it out of his mind, that's a little bit impossible, I would say. And that goes beyond what God expects from us too, by the way. God never tells us to forgive and forget. Forgetting is not a choice. You can't command somebody to forget because forgetting is not a choice. And he continues in verse 20, for your servant does know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. He is in a real hurry to humble himself before David because he understands that David could have him executed for what he did. And when a sinner really understands that they are a heartbeat away from hell because of what they've done, not to the king of a country, but to the king of the universe, then they're going to be in a hurry to repent and cry out to God for mercy through Jesus Christ. So what you see here is a small sample of what happens when sinners are brought under the conviction of the Holy Spirit and they realize that they are dead without a Savior. And they humble themselves fervently and ask God to have mercy on them through Jesus Christ. 21, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I had to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should do this day, that you should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? David was sure about his position at king, as king. It didn't matter if some didn't think he belonged there or not. It didn't matter to him. He knew. He was confident. You know, this is a real neat place to be. When you know that you're in God's will, you don't need the approval of others to carry on. When you are sure of yourself, you don't feel the need to try to prove it. 23, therefore the king said unto Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore unto him. So David gave him a full pardon that day. And no matter how horrible our sins may be, when we confess it to God, he gives us a full pardon as well. And in the same way, we should be willing to forgive others. You know, David had been forgiven an awful lot by God, some huge sin. So he's not going to hold a grudge against Shimei for this sin that he confessed, actually. He humbled himself. David knows that he has had to humble himself before God. God forgave him, so he pardoned Shimei. 24, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Mephibosheth, remember, was the lame son of Jonathan, David's deceased friend, who David had been caring for. And so as a sign of sadness, Mephibosheth had not taken care of himself all the while David was in exile. He was a friend of David's, which is why the suffering of David meant something to him. The Bible says we are to weep with those who weep, and that's not a problem if you really care about someone. 25, and it came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore went not you with me, Mephibosheth? You remember when David left town, he had been told a lie about Mephibosheth? He was told that Mephibosheth was glad he was being run out because he wanted to be king. And now David wants some straight answers to that accusation. He wants Mephibosheth to give his side of the story. And he's not going to condemn Mephibosheth simply because he has been accused, but he does want his side of the story. And, you know, it better be good. The Bible says one man's story seems to be true until the other person gives his side. No one should be condemned simply because they've been accused. 26. And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because your servant is lame. And he had slandered your servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in your eyes. Ziba, as the servant of Mephibosheth, was supposed to serve his handicapped master. Instead, he used Mephibosheth's disability to take advantage of him. He didn't saddle a donkey for his master so that he could join David as he left town. Instead, he slandered his master to David, saying that he didn't care, and that's why he wasn't there. And I can tell you this, I know for certain that God is not pleased with those who take advantage of people who have a disability. He says, do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God, I am the Lord. So let's look at 27 again. And he has slandered your servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in your eyes. So Mephibosheth made his case before David. And he said, I'll trust your wisdom, and I'll trust your fairness, and I will be content with your decision. You know, you can do that with the person who you know loves God. A child can trust a parent when he sees that parent praying and reading the Bible. A wife can trust her husband to lead if she knows he puts God first. A solid walk with God will give a person credibility. Verse 28. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet did you set your servant among them who did eat at your own table. What right, therefore, have I yet to cry any more unto the king? Mephibosheth knows that under normal circumstances, he and all of his relatives would have been put to death when the new king, King David, took over. And that's why he said, David, I never deserved anything good from you, and I don't now either. People get angry and become unsatisfied when they think life is unfair to them, when they think life has shortchanged them. And one key to contentment is to remember that all any of us really deserve is death and hell. 29. And the king said unto him, Why speak thou any more of your matters? I have said, You and Ziba divide the land. Yeah. This was actually a pretty bad call by David. You know, it was just a quick fix, I guess. Instead of investigating the matter to see who really was guilty, and he probably could have gotten to the bottom of it with a little bit of work, but instead of doing some investigation, he split the difference and said, You and Ziba each get half. And the problem with that is the innocent party only gets half of what's his, and the guilty party gets something when they don't deserve anything. You know, Mephibosheth deserved to have everything returned to him. And his servant, Ziba, should have been put to death or run out of town or something. 30. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. Mephibosheth, here, this is a little insight into his heart. Mephibosheth got more joy from seeing David back on the throne than any joy he might have received from material things. People are more important than prosperity. It's better to have the people you care about than to be well off financially. 31. And Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years, and he had provided the king of sustenance, while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed you with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? Barzillai had wealth, and he used it in a godly way. He used it to help David in his time of distress when he really needed some encouragement. And that's why David now offers to take care of Barzillai. And the lesson is so clear. If you want good things to happen to you, then you must be good to others. The Bible says he would have friends must be friendly. 34. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should your servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let your servant, I pray you, turn back again, that I may die in my own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. But behold, your servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him which shall seem good unto you. The 5 senses of Barzillai were just about shot. You could serve him a porterhouse steak or a bowl of gravy train, wouldn't matter much. Which is just a reminder that only a fool puts material things before God, and that's because their benefits usually fizzle away even before a person dies. Enjoy things while you can, but always put Christ first. That way you won't be devastated when the material things of this world cannot be enjoyed anymore. You're not going to be devastated because you're still going to have the most important thing to you, and that's God. 38. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto you. And whatsoever you shall inquire of me, that will I do for you. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. So Chimham was Barzillai's son. Barzillai could not enjoy the good things of this life, but he was doing his best to ensure that his son would. And isn't that the way it is? A good person does not say, well, since I can't have it, no one else should have it either. They want life to be better for others, especially those that they love.